I like to say yes to just about anything. Any, you know, life opportunity that's come my way or project opportunity. I think there's a really unique, if you, you know, meet somebody that wants to do something special, even if it's not something you've done before, there's a way to figure out how to jump into it and do it.
If you're wondering how saying yes to opportunity can impact your life and career, this podcast episode is for you. Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome architect and executive business strategist, Kate Rasmussen of Wade Weissman Architects. In this episode, Kate shares her journey of design and architecture and the many influences that shaped her perspective. We also discuss what attracted her to the business of design and how a team culture rooted in optimism contributes to the firm's signature collaborative service model and a heightened level of design that has attracted global attention. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. Will you be joining us in Palm Springs this fall for Design Biz Retreat? This exclusive gathering of design visionaries and industry experts combines the business of design and the value of community to deliver a two-day experience you don't want to miss. Visit our website for all the details and bios on our featured speakers, including Michelle Lynn, Kelly Lamb, Christopher Kennedy, Michael Walters, Amy Monroe, and Kate the Socialite. This opportunity is limited to 24 design professionals and only a few seats remain, so register now and be a part of the design community's most anticipated business and personal development event of the year. And now, our conversation with Kate Rasmussen of Wade Weissman Architecture. So Kate, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thanks so much, Rick. It's great to be here.
Yes. So you are joining us from?
I am right now in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I currently live.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'm in sunny California.
Nice. I was there recently.
So after all this time, I have finally embraced, you know, technology and Zoom by force. And, you know, I think for convenience as well, because it allows me to speak with people all over the country, including you from Pennsylvania.
Great. Well, I'm thankful for it as well.
So Kate, you are one of only a few architects that we have featured on the podcast before, so I'm excited to talk to you today about that. But I want to start by allowing you to introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I grew up in Northeast Ohio in kind of a small city there. And, you know, pretty quickly knew I wanted to pursue architecture. And I studied and received my Bachelor of Architecture from the University of Notre Dame in Indiana. And while I was there, I got to 1 year travel to live in Rome to study architecture, living in Rome. And I really got my first taste of city living then and just absolutely loved it. So after graduation, it took me to a few fun cities. I lived in New York City right away, moved to London for some, and then have been, once we were expecting our first child, we decided to leave New York City. And that's what had us be based back at in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh my gosh, Rome. That must have been so amazing to spend so much time there. I've only spent a few days there and I can't wait to go back. It's such an amazing place.
It's a great city. I mean, it was, you know, my heart is in Rome. It really was my first taste of international travel at all. And I mean, what a great experience when you get to be transplanted with 40 of your greatest college friends who also are passionate about drawing and architecture, and you're let loose in a city like Rome to study architecture and urbanism, and then not only Rome, but then travel all around, you know, Italy, and then big long stretches of breaks to be able to travel around Europe. So, yeah, it will forever be a part of me.
How amazing. I can't wait to go back. I can't wait to go back to Italy, and I cannot wait to get back to New York.
Yes. Same.
So, Kate, you mentioned that you knew early on that kind of architecture was something that you were interested in, and it ultimately became your passion. How early on? Like, how young were you when you were like, hey, I think this architecture thing has my name on it?
Well, anecdotally, I'll say I was really intrigued when Mr. Brady on the Brady Bunch was an architect. That's really what first planted the seed. And then, more seriously, though, as you know, I was in school and really found myself both very passionate and interested, and have just sort of a natural ability in kind of the more math and science fields, but then also really into art. And so, you know, I had some great mentors and teachers that helped guide me into combining those two passions of mine into architecture.
How early were you able to start studying architecture? Did you actually have a program in high school? Because I've talked to some designers and architects who actually had programs in high school. I did not. Maybe that's not a SoCal thing. I'm wondering if you had experience like that.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was in high school that my art teacher was kind of planting the seed, and he came up with particular ideas and special projects for me that were more focused on scale drawing and, you know, constructing 3D structures, but not really any architectural training until I was in college.
Right. I have spoken to some people who actually kind of learned hand drafting in high school. And I was like, wow, I mean, if that was available to me, I would have known much sooner. It took me so long to realize like where I was going and what I was going to do just because I didn't have access, you know?
Right. No, I agree. I think it's fantastic to hear that does happen for some people. It's a great skill to learn with and get an introduction to the idea of scale drawing and drafting.
I think as an industry, we need to start a movement to get interior design and architecture into high school programs
Yes, I'm in.
ASAP. I'll add that to my list of things to do. So, out of high school, did you go right into architecture school?
I did, yes. I jumped into architecture school. I actually started at Miami of Ohio for a year and a half there, where it was a really fantastic program that focused on the art side and very conceptual architecture. But I was really drawn and eventually ended up transferring to the University of Notre Dame because I realized pretty quickly that it was important to me to get kind of a foundation in the basics, like in the history and you know, traditional ways of building and design. And so the University of Notre Dame focuses, it used to be the only school in the US that focused primarily on classical architecture as its foundation, and then from there sort of built into other aspects. So I feel like I got a lot from my experience at Miami of Ohio, thinking conceptually about projects, but then got my foundations of scale and proportion and history of design from Notre Dame.
Amazing. Now, I have to ask because I don't recall seeing any female architects in Mr. Brady's architectural firm. So, was this intimidating for you going to, pursuing education in architecture as a woman?
So it's interesting, particularly that you asked that about the education side, because in my experience in school, more than 50% of my class were female studying
Oh,
architecture.
okay.
So I definitely think it was a time where people were encouraged or, you know, helped to usher their way into architecture school. I will say as years progress in the professional world, those numbers go down quite drastically. Both who end up graduating from architecture school, people sort of, it quickly became more and more male in school, and then definitely in the professional world.
Interesting. Well, we're glad you hung in there.
Yes, it's one you have to love it and really love it, and I do.
That's one of the reasons why I was excited to speak to you today, is because I know I've spoken with so many design professionals, and we are constantly surrounding ourselves with creatives. And I know a lot of designers who have actually said, you know, I really think I should have been an architect. And then we begin that conversation. Well, why didn't you? Well, I didn't know it was an option. I didn't know if it was right for me. I just felt like interior design was my lane. And I always love having conversations about kind of going outside of your lane, thinking outside of the box and exploring and pursuing things, and that it's never too late to do that.
That's true. I think that's a really good point. I've encountered many people, many of our clients, you know, typically seek out working with an architect because they have a passion for architecture. And they're like, I considered architecture school, and then I went in this much more lucrative profession.
Gee, a lot of people say that about interior design as well.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And so when you and I, we've had the luxury of speaking once before, and you had mentioned that during design school, you had an opportunity to travel. We talked about that in your introduction. Tell me a little bit more about that and how that impacted your education and how it is having an impact on your career, because I think travel is so important. It's such valuable inspiration for designers and architects and really any creative.
It is. And it's, you know, I think it's why we're all missing it so incredibly right now. But, you know, experiencing Rome, because it was a city on a scale that I had never experienced before. It was a place where you walked everywhere. You know, it was a real bustling living city, but you're able to walk as a pedestrian from place to place. And I more grew up in like the suburbs, you know, in the Midwest, was my basis of past experience. And then, you know, living in Rome as well, understanding the different buildings and the history of what was there and the trades of, you know, the stone carving and the detail that you see on buildings and how a particular really simple building sometimes holds its own next to a really ornate building. And so I feel like we had fantastic, you know, professors that helped guide us to see those things. And that's something that has stayed with me. You know, I think it's a blessing and a curse. My husband's also an architect. And so, I mean, we're on our honeymoon and we're like, can you believe that detail of that building? You know, it becomes as we're traveling around Portugal, and it becomes, once your eyes are open to looking at the details and not just passing them by, but taking them in, sometimes sketching or drawing them, but sometimes just really understanding, like looking at the front of a building and seeing where there's windows and how the pattern of windows are. It's amazing, you know, and it kind of stays in your mental library of things to pull from when you want to describe something to somebody else. And sometimes you can describe that in words or in a picture of a place that you've been. But it's definitely something you can't turn off once your eyes are open to it.
Oh, I know. The last time I was in Italy, when we were in Rome, I traveled with a colleague of mine who I travel quite a bit with, and our husbands are amazing friends as well. And so the four of us travel quite a bit, and they always watch us. I have more pictures of doors and manhole covers and latches and hinges. And they just kind of look at us like, okay.
All right, here we are documenting all of it. But it is, I mean, and then, you know, you find that you're sitting there in a meeting or trying to think about a solution, and that idea pops back into your head of the hotel you stayed at where you were somewhere, or what this building looked like, or what the staircase, you know, felt like to walk in and see that staircase. And it, I think it's really powerful. And, you know, right now you can do a lot with images that you can find. You know, images are so readily available to us, you know, right now with all the different platforms. But I still think, you know, experiencing it in person and getting that bug of travel, you know, sticks with you longer than just seeing a picture.
For sure, because that's where we see the good stuff. That's where we see how that stone transitions to plaster and all those little details that make design and architecture so special.
Exactly. Yes.
So Kate, you're kind of a big deal at Wade Wiseman Architects right now. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Tell us about the firm and your role there.
Sure. So I have been with Wade Wiseman Architecture for 6.5 years now. And Wade is a fantastically talented designer who is based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is a place I had never been before starting my job here. And Wade similarly had a lot of different ideas and experiences in his life that took him, you know, around the country and traveled a lot. And he just thinks about design and the business of you know, having a business in architecture in a really unique manner. And so after school, I found myself at, as I mentioned, some jobs in New York at really well-established firms. And, you know, just fate or whatever sort of got Wade and I to introduce ourselves to each other. And once we started sort of these, you know, it was the beginning of these virtual conversations even 6 years ago. And we realized how similarly we thought about design and clients and how important it is, you know, that the handling of clients and the serious responsibility that clients are giving us to design their dream home. Usually we do mostly residential architecture. And so, you know, I came with a plethora of different experiences than Wade did. And so together, you know, as, you know, part of a 30 plus person team right now, you know, we're really creating a nationally recognized brand that's working across the country on some just amazing projects. So it's really exciting. It's been a fantastic, you know, time of growth there, both in growing in new geographical regions, new project types, new clients all over. And so it's kind of been a dream job, and learned kind of how to do it from afar too. So I work in one office, and we have an office on the West Coast in Santa Barbara, close to you. Mm-hmm. So I get out your way, you know, pretty regularly, or at least I used to. And then to our Midwest home base in the Milwaukee, sort of Chicago area. Most of our staff sits there.
Amazing. You know, the high-end residential is really pretty special. I come from high-end residential as well, and it really is exciting to work on that scale of project and to interact with those type of clients and hearing their stories and helping, you know, fulfill their dreams. You know, designing and working on these legacy homes is really exciting. It is kind of a dream come true. I was so fortunate to work, you know, at that level for almost 10 years, and it was a real treat.
Yes, it is. I mean, and as I said, I mean, I think it's a huge leap of faith. You know, you sit down and describe in words or a portfolio of work that, you know, was customized to another person. And now you're talking to a new family that has new family traditions and new ways of living and, you know, a site that speaks in a particular way and an inside of a neighborhood or setting or resort or wherever it is that has all of its own unique constraints and opportunities. And, you know, they are entrusting you with, you know, some of our clients build multiple homes, but usually it's a one-time really big decision for somebody to hire an architect and to build, you know, the home that they hope to stay in for a long time. And it's a, you know, it's a really fun 1 to 3 or 4 years that we spend with them and really get to know them really, really well. They're often
sometimes longer.
Sometimes longer. Yes.
I always say it is a big responsibility, but it is also a huge privilege as well. Kate, you had mentioned, so, you know, we talk all the time on the podcast about the synergy between designers and architects and builders and clients, and how that synergy, that teamwork is so important. It's actually vital to really kind of achieving an amazing outcome. But you had also mentioned or described a synergy between you and Wade that I wouldn't mind talking a little bit more about. I mean, with a team of 30 people across the country, as part of your firm, the synergy within the firm is just as important as the synergy between you and the design build team. You know, what are some of the things that you and Wade saw eye to eye on that made you realize this is a natural fit?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one of the things when I was contemplating what is it about architecture and my job that is so fulfilling, and kind of what's my unique skill set within that place. And I think a big part of it is being like unabashedly optimistic, right, about everything. And so sometimes people can sort of say like, oh, you know, you must have never had, you know, been burned, you know, to just keep that sort of wide-eyed optimism going into every scenario. And the truth is I certainly have by clients that, you know, haven't, or employees that have or have not worked out. But generally speaking, you know, I like to say yes to just about anything, any, you know, life opportunity that's come my way or project opportunity. I think there's a really unique, if you meet somebody that wants to do something special, even if it's not something you've done before, there's a way to figure out how to jump into it and do it. And I immediately saw that in Wade. You know, he has just this charisma that people all over are just really drawn to. And, you know, it's his kind of superpower to just, you know, turn that into exciting projects that we all get to work on. And so, you know, I have been a part of recruiting with him, and it is, you know, the world of high-end traditional residential with an optimistic bent it's not an easy kind of person to find. And so, you know, it's a very carefully selected group of people that we work with, and it's a fantastic group. And, you know, but it takes a long time to, you know, to really grow that team to a point of that carries on that same brand, you know, from project to project. Right now, I mean, we have over 70 active projects right now, which is a huge leap for our firm, and to keep sort of that, not only the brand and how something looks, but making sure the clients feel the service side of that brand is it's a tricky business challenge, you know, really to think through on a day-to-day basis. Like, you know, as an architect, as part of a team that, you know, helps to run the organization and the business side of it, it's, you know, there's a lot of different hats you have to wear every day.
I mean, it sounds like you both have that fire within you that kind of fuels that optimism, which is so important. And that trickles down, you know, that is contagious to the rest of your team, which I think is huge. I mean, I always tell people, whether they are the principal of their design firm or they're a key player in their design firm, or maybe if they've just joined the design firm and they talk about, am I in the right place? Do I belong here? And I think that's a question that everyone should ask themselves. And the answer should be, yes, this is where I really want to be. This is where I want to come to work every day. This is the team that I want to be a part of. And then everything else just, I mean, like you said, it's a tough gig. This is not an easy industry. So you've got to have certain things going for you, because every day we show up to new challenges. I always tell designers, if you think you're going to wake up today and there's not going to be a problem at the office, just go right back to bed, because it's not going to happen. But if you've got the big picture dialed in and you feel like you're a real contributing part of a team, that is just so fulfilling. And that's, I think, what makes it work.
Exactly. No, you really nailed it there. And it does it, you know, then, you know, you head into the office every day or connecting with everybody virtually every day. And it is contagious. It really, you know, sort of spreads through and helps everybody, you know, get through the hard days and look forward to the really exciting days.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Now, obviously the listeners can't see me, but we're on video. And when you said 70 projects, my jaw dropped. That's a really lot of projects, but I get it. You have a big team. And let's talk about your projects for a second, just to understand the scale. What is the typical size of your projects? Because I mean, I scrolled through your portfolio and it's pretty amazing.
Well, thank you. No, that thank you so much. I'd say the typical project at Wade Weisman Architecture, you know, as I said, we work on all project types, but primarily residential. And, you know, maybe our standard residential home is somewhere in the 5,000 to 7,000 square foot range, very highly detailed and resolved architecture, you know, that takes into account a timeless quality that, you know, where it fits seamlessly into where it's built and hopefully will patina and, you know, over time and age gracefully is kind of our goal. That being said, we certainly have a lot of homes that are considerably, you know, exponentially larger than those that become really complex. And then we have some really amazing jewel boxes that, you know, square footage wise wouldn't make your jaw drop, but are really unique and exciting design opportunities and challenges. And, you know, one of the project types, if we can type them, that we're finding more and more, especially in the past few years, that that families and people have set off to pursue is that idea of a retreat, a personal retreat place. And so many of our projects right now are, you know, an additional home, a second or third or fourth home for our clients that often is kind of a family compound, and you have a grouping of buildings, and, you know, sometimes it's different residences or a workout facility or a really cool speakeasy bar that they want to have, you know, repurpose something that was on their particular historic site into, you know, a new purpose so that their family can now retreat together in a special place that means something to them and that they can go around and enjoy almost as you do when you go visit a fancy hotel. And so I think that's probably one of the most fun project types to think about and help clients think through all of the possibilities of what does their family love right now, and then talk about your children or extended family and friends, and then how do they age through this family retreat in a really interesting way.
Let's talk for a second about your collaboration with interior design professionals, because I'm sure that you guys collaborate often and consistently with design professionals on projects like these. What are a couple of things that you really value in that collaboration? What are some of the favorite things that design professionals bring to the table to really make these projects just kind of, you know, shine and take it to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, you're right in that, you know, we're so fortunate in working with amazing interior design professionals and landscape, you know, designers, and we really do love to collaborate. Like, we love to sit down together. We often will start a project with kind of a charrette-like setting, meaning that, you know, there's tons of crumpled drawing paper, you know, all around us at the end of the day, and walls just dripping in fun ideas and precedent and color and texture and fabric. And I think, as, you know, the architect, you know, our role at some point is kind of the, you know, the ringleader of all of the other specialties, and just, you know, facilitating all of that information into a package and keeping it on a time and schedule and making sure the building stands up and has all
the little things,
you know, and coordinating with the structural engineer on that and mechanical. So to make sure that it functions, you know, very extremely efficiently for the homeowner. But then when you get to infuse the other design professionals in it, and it's lighting design and acoustics and all of that, along with the interior designers, that's who gets to put the earrings on and really start to make something that, hopefully has nice bones to it, sing in this beautiful way. And sitting down and thinking about design and interior and exterior spaces and rooms with other creatives is just, you get going in one of those design sessions and it's really exciting. And they add so much to the, to the process. So, we absolutely love that part of it and collaborating together.
Those are probably some of the best times I ever had in design. And some of the best conversations is just being in the room with the architects and the builders and the other people, the landscape architects, and having those like crazy creative conversations and just hearing what everyone's bringing to the table. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And at the end of the day, it doesn't all stick. It's that kind of brainstorming session that is so exciting. And not a lot of people have the opportunity to be a part of that. And I always encourage design professionals, whenever you can be in a room of people, call them smarter than you, call them more talented than you, call them whatever you want. But if you can be in a room with other people who are passionate about design like that, oh my gosh, that's a conversation you want to be a part of.
Right. Yes. And you get to start to create the story together and everyone gets to add, the ingredients and into the story. And you're right, at the end of the day, they might not all stick and there's an edited version of the story, but hopefully that, the concept that of creating this special place for someone or some business, does stick with it. And you remember kind of when that idea, that spark of idea, went from your mind somehow onto paper or words to convince somebody to do it. And now it's a structure, or something that you can see and touch and feel in front of you. And it's a, that's why we all stick with it, right?
For sure. Yeah, you're right. Because then to see the landscape architect take it to the next level and interpret something based on the foundation that the architect brought to the table, and then to see the designer do something that no one really kind of envisioned and be like, where did that come from? And just see it all come together. It's so cool.
Right. It is. Yes.
Well, Kate, we have some signature questions here at the podcast.
Okay.
And the first one being, what is the secret to your survival? And that's kind of like my tongue-in-cheek way of saying, what has kept you in this industry for so long?
Yeah, well, and some of that I feel like I touched on a little bit earlier with the, kind of attitude, the yes attitude of, jumping really into every new experience and opportunity that can come about. And so I mentioned to you that, I often would be sitting at my desk working on a particular project and the phone rings and new, super exciting, new project in a new place where you have to hop on a plane and go understand the city and the people, comes across your desk. And so I think sometimes it's easy to kind of stay in your comfort zone, but then it's also really fun to jump out of it. And I also mentioned to you, I once an email crossed my desk and I read it when I was happily working away in New York City, and it was for this amazing fellowship in London. And I was like, wow, maybe I should just try for it. And so, I was able to then move to London for 2 years and get a whole new experience of understanding building craft and design and learn from experiencing all of, England and the UK and traveling around Scotland and things there too. And so all of those, as we mentioned before, then become part of your repertoire of experiences and designed to stay with it. And so I think, kind of what keeps me going every day is the unknown of what's coming around the next corner. I'm really great at the big picture, jumping into new and exciting experiences like that. And then, flushing through the details, you have to sit down and put your head down. And, you know, I've got my drafting board next to me right now where I'm, you know, drafting tiny little lines and you know, reading fine lines of code, building codes and things like that. But, you know, stepping into the minutia and then being able to pull back out to all of those big experiences, I guess I'd say is what, you know, what keeps it super exciting for me.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think those experiences and that exploration helps balance the kind of minutia that you were talking about, because we all know, you know, the line drawings never go away. The math never goes away. Like the not so sexy stuff never goes away. Like that's what we went to school for. That's the foundation of what we do. But it's this big picture stuff, these opportunities that you always have to be open to. That's why I think what makes our industry so exciting.
Yes, definitely.
Kate, what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then?
I would say that it's okay that you don't know everything. I can remember, you know, from, you know, when you know, are fortunate enough to do well in school and get a job, you know, get a job and you, somebody's now trusting you to sit at this desk and paying you to do this, you know, important task that you're like, oh, I studied so much and I know all of these things. And it is a really dynamic profession, as a lot of professions are. And so I think it's okay to say like, hey, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about there, or what's that detail? And that was something I was really afraid. It's funny, you know, when I knew less, I was afraid to say what I didn't know. And now that I actually have more experience, I'm very open and the first one to just ask questions and be, it's okay if that, you know, there's a lot that we all know, a lot that we bring to the table, but it's okay to admit what you don't know and to find out those answers.
Yeah, not asking the questions, that's missed opportunity. And I speak from experience because I spent a lot of time at the table with some incredibly talented people, and I wish I would have raised my hand more often, and I wish I would have asked more questions, because it, again, now in hindsight, I see what an incredible opportunity it was. And we can't know everything. It's a learning process. You learn something new every day.
Right.
Every day.
Yes.
Such good advice. That's such good advice. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the community, in the design community, in the architectural community? I love speaking with design professionals because I feel like our design community really does give back in so many ways, and people tend to not talk about it or acknowledge it so much. And that's kind of one of my missions, is to not only talk to design professionals and allow them to share with the community, but also, you know, talk about ways that they do that.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, within the design community and primarily people that are, you know, interested in joining the design community, I feel like I was so incredibly fortunate to have amazing mentors throughout my career, and, you know, people that just took incredible amounts of time out of their really busy lives to teach me about different facets of design and project management and the business side of architecture. And so, you know, it's really easy when balancing, or it's really difficult when balancing, you know, 50, 60 hour work weeks, and I have three young children, and, you know, that it's just really, and traveling all the time. And, you know, it's a really busy life, but I feel like it's extremely important to stop and take that time with people who are, you know, both my colleagues or, you know, other consultants that we're, you know, working with, or, you know, a lot of times someone will reach out, and particularly when young women reach out and tell me that they're interested in the profession, it's, you know, it means a lot to me to be able to sit down and kind of talk through with them how to, what they can expect and how they can achieve success in, you know, in this profession. And so I'd say that within the design community, and then, you know, of course, in the community at large, the different communities that we find ourselves in, you know, I feel like there's, as soon as you announce that you're an architect, it's probably like being, you know, a doctor or a nurse. Everyone's like, oh, my elbow hurts, you know, or the community center needs, you know, needs a new room. And that, you know, and so anytime we can it's, you know, of course, let's just like take a weekend day. My kids come along all the time, places with us, and sort of pass out as much free advice that people will listen to of, you know, what they what they might need to do in sort of for nonprofit organizations and you know, Habitat for Humanity and things like that, that I've had the pleasure of being involved in the past. So it's fun. It's fun to have ideas. It's fun to be able to see a place or, you know, see an old house and be able to see, to visualize what you can do with it. And so it's you know, you're often in a unique situation when you show up someplace like that and can just start talking and waving your arms around and getting people excited to do something and with, you know, something that they inherited or something that they're interested in purchasing. And I don't know, I find a lot of joy in doing that and hopefully help others in the process too.
Yeah, absolutely. Being of service is a very good thing. Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. I was looking so forward to this conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time. Before we wrap up, can you tell us how we can learn more about you and your firm? How can we find you guys on Instagram? What is the website?
Sure. Yes. So it's Wade Weissman Architecture. And you can find us on, our website, also on our Instagram. We're on there, Pinterest, House, you know, we have a lot of our beautiful imagery just by searching for Wade Weissman Architecture.
Perfect. And we'll have a link directly to your website in the show notes as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
I really appreciate Kate's philosophy of exploring and saying yes to opportunity. Every designer I've ever spoken to credits travel as a primary source of inspiration. It was so inspiring to hear how Kate's experiences in Rome and London have contributed to her design perspective. As design professionals, we view our surroundings when we travel in a slightly different manner. When everyone else is looking here, we're usually the ones looking over there. A dear friend and mentor of mine once told me, "When you travel, stay in the nicest hotel you can afford, always walk through the city, never drive, and pay attention to the details. Look up and look down." All of the influences surrounding us become points of reference for future design inspiration. Another standout moment during our conversation was Kate's optimistic mindset. It's basically a job requirement at her firm, and it trickles down from Wade Weissman himself. Seeing every project as an opportunity to be of service to your client, learn from your team, and express yourself creatively is the whole reason why we love what we do, right? Whenever we feature architects here on the podcast, we make it a point to talk about synergy. And this conversation with Kate really opened my mind and eyes to the construction of collaboration and relationships. Thanks, Kate. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.